be all right. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you now as we turn our attention to your word. God, you're so faithful. You're so awesome and so wonderful. For that we say thank you. Now, as we walk through the text, teach us from the text. Show us what you'll have us to see. Open up your word and give us understanding and illumination. Meet us in our present circumstances and situation. And show to us that you've got this thing fixed. And gracious God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to call your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I pray the liberty of the Spirit to walk through these verses and pick out nuggets and glean from the text those things that the Lord would have me to share with you. It's a reminder of an encouraging message. And our launch scripture comes from the 15th verse of the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And it simply says, "And he said, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to ask the question, whose battle are you fighting? If the battle is not yours, the question is, whose battle are you fighting? As we look at verse 14, the prophet Jehaziel, here represented by five generations of ancestry, is in the midst of the congregation. And the record is, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And my brothers and sisters, just as a footnote, it's always helpful when the prophet prophesies to have the Spirit of the Lord upon him. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord was upon men. In the New Testament, he is within men or men within him. But in the Old Testament, the Spirit was upon him, which signified that God's presence and power was there to enact whatever it was that God had assigned that person to do. And so the prophet has a great message, and this message is a powerful message. Matter of fact, when we look at this message, we will discover three things about the message. First thing, verse 15 reveals, is the fact that this message is a personal message. Because he calls off Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. And he says to them that the battle is not theirs, but God's. Not only is it a personal message, but verse 16 reveals that it is a prophetic message. Because verse 16 reveals where the enemy will be tomorrow. Some of you don't know where your enemy is today. And while the Spirit was on the man of God, the prophet, he prophesied and prophetically said where, pinpointed, the enemy would be on tomorrow. But not only was it a prophetic message, but verse 17 reveals that it was a powerful message. Because it says, ye will not have to fight in this battle, but you will have to do three things. One, you'll have to set yourself. That means find your place. Secondly, you're going to have to stand ye still. That means stay in your place. And then thirdly, see the salvation of the Lord. That means from your place, watch God work it out. You see, one of the things that we miss is the fact that God can't work it out for us because we're not in our place. And we don't know how to stand still and see the salvation. God don't need your hands in his business. But he needs to let you see him moving his hands in your business. Look at what the record says, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Listen to this. It's important for you to understand that the writer is saying, and this word salvation in this context means deliverance. So see the deliverance of the Lord with you. When the Lord is with you, great deliverance comes to you. I don't care who and what and how many your enemies may be. If God is with you, who can be against you? Now listen to this. The record is clear that God in previous times have delivered Israel's enemy into their hand. The record is clear that God has delivered Israel's enemies under their feet. But in this case, God is delivering Israel's enemies, DOA. Just in case you don't know what I'm talking about, dead on arrival. If you don't believe it, all you got to do is go to the 24th verse and it'll say, when Judah came to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked and saw that all, every one of their enemies had been smitten and not one of them escaped. And so that meant when they arrived, their enemies were delivered dead on arrival. Yeah. That ought to be a message to your enemies. Be careful about messing with a child of God. Because sometime he'll deliver you in my hand. Sometime he'll deliver you under my feet. But all there are other times he'll deliver you. But listen, if you will. When Jehoshaphat heard this word, verse 18, he bowed down on his face, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and they worshiped God. Verse 19 says, then stood the Levites and the two sons of Levi, descendants who were the psalmist and the praisers. So you had the priests, the praisers, and the psalmist who stood up and with a loud voice cried out praises unto God. And then verse 20 says, and early in the morning. Listen at what happens. As they went on through the wilderness of Tekoa, as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me. Now, this is the king speaking now. He says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Now, this is the king now, because the king has just gotten the word from the prophet that there's battle here, because there are three groups of people, the children of Ammon, the children of Moab, and the children of Mount Seir, who have come against the tribe of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And King Jehoshaphat has been given the word that this battle is not his, it's God, and he will not need to fight. All he has to do is set himself still and watch God do what he's going to do. And so he's excited about this word, and he reminds Israel to believe in the Lord your God. Now, first thing I need you to know is the word believe has the connotation of both foundation and record. When he says believe, he's saying, listen, let's remember the foundation that we have with God. This ain't no new God we're serving. God has been there all the time. This ain't the first thing God has delivered us from or has done for us. Let's remember all that God has done. He said, but not only that, we have a record with God of all of the many things God has done for us. So believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. In other words, your establishment will be because of your faith you have in God. Can I tell you the only reason why some of you ain't been moved right now is because you believe in God? If the enemy had his way, you'd be long gone. You've been moved out of your place. You've been moved from your grounds. You've been moved from your position. You will no longer have what you have, but because you believe in the Lord, he's established you. And listen, the record makes clear, my God will establish you, because when you look at the word, verse 22 shows you where he starts the establishment, and verse 30 shows you where he ends the establishment. I'll touch a little bit of that as I go along, but I don't want to rush myself. But look at what he goes on and saying, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Now listen to what the king said. The king says, believe his prophets, not believe every prophet. Not believe all prophets. But the record is, believe his prophets. To prove that he's talking about more than this one prophet, does your Bible not have an S on prophet? Yeah, because he included me. so shall ye prosper. And just to rush on a little bit, if you don't believe that, all you have to do is read verse 25, and you'll see how they prospered so much that it took them 3 days to carry the spoils from the battle they didn't even fight. But listen, there are some more shouting points I want to get to, because I just wanted to walk through this and encourage you, because I believe every verse is screaming out saying, say something about me. I've got some shouting elements in me. So verse 21 says, he consulted with the people and appointed singers and praisers. I like this word, because when he consulted with the people, that was a purpose for him consulting. What he wanted to do was find out who were the best. Who were the best praisers? Who were the best singers? And listen, once he found out who they were, how they were sincere, how their lives lined up with their singing, how they were real, and they weren't just people open their mouths singing words, but they believed it in their hearts. He said, put them on the front line before the army. And then look at what he says. That let me sing the beauty of his holiness. And then he wrote a little song. He said, let them sing, praise ye the Lord. Listen, why? For his mercy is endureth forever. For his mercy, it endureth forever. Listen at this now. That reason he put the praise singers and the singers in front of the army, because number one, praise honors God, but it harasses his enemies. Praise confirms God's effectiveness, but praise confuses God's enemies. And so when the enemies would hear the praisers and the singers singing a song of victory, that praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever, they're going to be like, what are they singing? They act like the battle is already over and it hadn't even started. They act like they won the battle. Did we not get the memo? What are they singing? So they become confused as to why would you put the praisers and singers before the army who's going to do the fighting. But what they didn't understand was that the army wasn't going to do no fighting. But the God of the army was going to do the fight. That's why they put the praisers in front. Listen at this. And then verse 22 says, and when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord, and when they begin to sing and praise the Lord, and when they begin to sing and praise the Lord. But what I'm trying to tell you is, if you learn to lift your voice, God will learn to lift your victory. You see, when he hears your voice, God will show you he can bring you your victory when you know how to open up your voice and give him the praise that's worthy of him, that's due him, and that was in advance of the victory. And when they sung those praises and those songs, God set ambushments. This is how it happened. The children of Ammon and the children of Moab looked at the children of Mount Seir. And it was more of Mount Seir than Ammon and Moab. And Ammon and Moab say, I think they're out after us. Somebody done fooled us. They done set us up here. So I tell you what we'll do. Let's get rid of Mount Seir. And so Ammon and Moab got together and killed all of the Mount Seir children. And after they had killed all of Mount Seir children, they looked at each other funny. And said, wait a minute, something ain't right about you. And they looked at the other and said, no, something ain't right about you. If you did it to them, you would do it to me. So they turned on each other and killed one another. That's what verse 23 say. They all killed one another after God set ambushments up. Just because the people sang and praise. Y'all need to know singing and praising moves God. That's why the devil don't want you to sing and praise. That's why the devil don't want you to open up your mouth and lift up the name of the Lord. That's why the devil don't want you to call out on God. Because things happen when you sing and praise. I don't care what you're going through. Just sing a little while. And then just praise him. Just think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you. And let your soul just cry out, worthy. Glory to God. Listen. And verse 24 says, and when Judah came to the watchtower, they beheld that it wasn't really nothing to watch. Because God had killed everything that was supposed to be fighting them. And he let them do it themselves. Listen. God knows how to confuse your enemy if you know how to give him praise and glory. Your enemy wonder what's wrong with you when you ought to be crying and you smiling and laughing and giving God praise. When they think you got, they got you beat and you giving God the glory for the victory. When they count you out and God counts you the winner. Praise him. Then verse 25 says, and then Jehoshaphat and all Judah came down to the battlefield. And off of all of the dead men, they collected the riches and precious jewels. Precious jewels. Listen, but it took them more than 3 minutes. It took them more than 3 hours. Matter of fact, the record is it took them 3 days to collect all of the spoil from the battle God had fought. Don't fool yourself. The wealth of the wicked. You got some wicked folk with your stuff. I said, you got some wicked folk with your stuff. But you ain't going to get your stuff till you learn how to sing and praise to God so God can set ambushments up so he can deliver your enemies DOA. That's how you can collect all your stuff. And you won't get no back talk from your enemy. Lord, I wish I had it. Listen, verse 25 is an exciting verse because it shows you they did not lift a finger to fight the enemy. But in spite of that, they won the battle because of God. So it brings to question, whose battle are you fighting? Because some of you have been in this battle too long. And you've been in this battle and it's been too strong. But the problem very well could be because this battle has been